Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
As we're getting closer to vacation time, seems like theme parks, whose survival depends upon the money brought in by families, would be catering to those families. But one big name in the entertainment and theme park industries is going to the opposite direction. Could it be they are depending upon the short memories of Americans or pressure from the kids to make the vacation plans around Disney? Only time will tell. But is Disney's embrace of the LGBTQ agenda something new, or should we have been paying closer attention? This will be the first of a two-parter dealing with the LGBTQA, whatever else they're adding to the alphabet soup there, agenda. Today we are taking on Disney. Next week we'll take on Fox News and the news media in general and have some advice for the GOP. My guest for these two programs is Peter LaBarbera. He's president of the Americans for Truth About Homosexuality, which has moved out of Chicago and is now in a more sane state of Ohio. Thanks, Peter, for being with us.
Oh, thanks, Diane, and thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, I'm sure things are a lot different in Ohio than they were in Chicago.
Well, it's funny
survival.
You say that, Diane, because there is a difference living in a red state as opposed to a blue state. Even on some things as small as getting your license tags renewed. A lot cheaper in Ohio than Illinois, a lot more law-abiding, better policing in Ohio than Illinois, although I listen to the radio and Columbus is complaining about the effect of Black Lives Matter on their police in the big city. So it's really a city versus non-city factor. But the downfall of Illinois is that Chicago and the suburbs became all Democrat, dominated by Democrats. And so once Chicago and the suburbs were gone, there was really no way in Illinois for a conservative to win statewide. Mm-hmm. And at that point, it seems the conservatives started fleeing Illinois. And every time you turn around, you'd run into somebody who was leaving Illinois.
Well, yeah, that's similar to what's happening in Pennsylvania. But you have closely followed the LGBTQ agenda for a long time, although it used to just be, you know, LGBT, and then they keep adding letters to the alphabet. How have you seen this agenda change over the years?
We've been doing this a long time, me and you. Maybe me a little bit longer than you. I've been doing it for 30 years, three decades. And let's just get one thing clear. This new conservative so-called effort to separate the LGB from the T is intellectually dishonest. Mm-hmm. The T has always been part of the LGB, and I'm talking lesbian, gay, bisexual, and then T. And what you're seeing now is some conservatives saying, you know, they will not criticize gay, they will not criticize proud homosexuality, but they will criticize sort of left-wing gay activists, but they don't want to criticize homosexuality, the homosexual movement directly, although they will go full force against the transgender issue because, of course, that's easier and it's the most radical thing going right now.
Right.
And so you see this effort, and I guess we're going to be talking about this in both shows, but to, you know, sort of, we're all on board for criticizing the transgender ideology and the movement, and yet there's been this sort of like move on attitude towards homosexuality, even gay marriage, so-called homosexual, so-called marriage, a reluctance among conservative leaders and including media conservatives to criticize big gay. And I don't want any part of that. And by the way, when did bisexuality become a conservative thing? Because if we're not supposed to, you know, the LGB, when did bisexuality be a thing that conservatives could get behind?
Well, I know the whole sexual revolution is, I think, like a snowball, you know, going down a hill, and it's collecting more and more snow in this case. But as this whole LGBTQ, whatever, agenda is going down the hill, it's collecting these, as you're saying, conservatives and such as that. And they're all becoming part of the problem, really, when they're not standing strongly against the agenda, which is to normalize the whole shebang, or normalize homosexuality. The bisexuality is a big push now, but transgenderism is even a bigger push. And as we see more conservatives becoming, you know, part of the problem, really, it's not a good message for our kids. But let's zeroing in on Disney itself. I know way back, probably the early 2000s, AFA National made a video, actual video, I don't think they made it into a DVD, but they were listing the problems with Disney even way back then. So it's not a new thing. Disney would drop little hints here and there as far as some of their productions and such. But back in June of 1990, they had their first World Gay Day in June of 1990. And it's now expanded to a week full of activities. And in 2005, they expected 140,000 to attend. And you were involved in some of protests and such there, I understand?
Oh, yeah. We were protesting the Gay Day at Disney, I think back when they first started. I couldn't remember the day, but I knew it was a long time ago. And in fact, a funny story, well, it's not really funny at all. When we protested a Gay Day, I think it was in Orlando, we protested the fact that Disney was not notifying, let's just say, everyday normal parents, mm-hmm. families of these gay days. And so let's just say you and your family are going to go down and visit Disney. Now, we really didn't have the money nor inclination to do that as a family, but a lot of families do. They go down to Disney. Well, Disney, I don't know, to this day, does not make public, or they don't do anything on their own to say, hey, this is Gay Day, because that would be, quote, discriminatory, mm-hmm. unquote, right?
Yeah.
So they don't want to treat, they want to pretend that this is just like, I don't know, like Knights of Columbus Day, right?
Yeah.
This is part of the fiction of the left in which conservatives are now, echoing. So they wouldn't tell anybody. So you show up with your family, you spend what is probably amounting to, in current dollars, thousands of dollars, or at least $1,000 mm-hmm. to take the trip, stay in the hotel, buy the thing, and you arrive and imagine, to your shock, discover that the park, even though you have young children, is filled with hundreds and hundreds, mm-hmm. maybe thousands and thousands of couples, and you have homosexual couples holding hands, you have men kissing other men just like a man would kiss his mm-hmm. wife. And I want my kids to see a husband that, I don't want huge public displays of affection between man and women, but I don't mind if a husband is hugging his wife, mm-hmm, kissing his wife. You know, this is what you kind of, this is affirming normalcy and wholesome values. You can't equate that to two men kissing in front of your children. And so we protested this, and lo and behold, a woman named Tammy Bruce, who was, I did not know this because I was lazy. I had committed the bad policy of not checking who was calling me for an interview. But a woman named Tammy Bruce on radio in L.A. called me up for an interview about my press release, and she pretended to be a sort of violent, prone homophobe. Mm. And she was interviewing me, and she was saying stuff like, and I was sitting in my basement in, I think in Virginia, in my home office, and she was interviewing me about this press release. And then she started to say things like, this is Tammy Bruce, who's now a commentator on Fox,
right?
Who became a conservative, right? Open lesbian. She was interviewing me, and she was saying, well, don't you get sometimes so mad that you want to hit these people? And I'm listening to this. I'm saying, what? And she played the part of the violence, of the irrational, over-the-top homophobe, and was trying to bait me into making comments that would incriminate me, as if I really did hate gay people, mm-hmm. as if I really did want to harm homosexuals, which I didn't. I just disagreed with the espousal and the promotion of and the celebration of proud homosexuality.
Right.
And so she does this for half an hour, Diane, on this radio interview. And then at the very end, she comes on the air and she says, well, I have a confession to make. I'm one of the most powerful, out and proud lesbians on the West Coast, and you have 30 seconds to respond.
30 seconds.
So imagine. Now, is it 30 seconds or a minute? I think it was 30 seconds. So I'm shaking there, and I basically fumble out the words that I don't hate anybody. We just disagree. Mm-hmm. And that's how the interview ended. She never had the guts to apologize to me for that, nor did she ever allow the tape of that show to be sent out. She hid the tape. Now, this woman is now a conservative leader in the United States of America, and I agree with 95% of what she says. But the point is, this is a Fox openly mm-hmm. lesbian, so-called conservative, but she's not really conservative on this issue. And this is the problem we'll talk about in our next interview, I guess, with gay conservatives. And I'm sorry to steal it and put it on this show. But I mean, this is what we have. And you could just stretch out the problem all across conservatism when you begin to promote and hype gay conservatives, so-called, mm-hmm. as some of your leading spokesmen on the right.
Exactly.
That's a problem.
Yeah, exactly. Because they're being portrayed as real conservatives when really they aren't. at least most people wouldn't define them as real conservatives. Yeah, I'm looking at back at Disney. In 2007, they announced that they would be allowing same-sex marriage, quote-unquote marriages, in their theme parks and cruise lines. Even at that point, Americans did not wake up. What it's taken is the situation where they've come out and opposed the Florida parental rights bill. And yeah. That's what's finally, I mean, and everything else with going on with, as parents are finding out what's being taught to the kids as far as sexual issues, and of course, critical race theory. And troubling to me, very troubling to me, is a Gallup poll from last month indicates that the number of individuals in the U.S. identifying as LGBT is at 7.1%, up from 5.6% in 2020. Do you believe Disney and its entertainment, quote-unquote entertainment, and all that is playing a role in the increase of those who identify as LGBT?
Well, I think Disney and all corporations that and schools, et cetera, that promote this lifestyle, you know, pop culture plays a role. Mm-hmm. And I think schools probably play a bigger role than Disney, but Disney is now arguing, I'm sure, that they have to keep up with the culture, whereas, you know, it's a chicken or the egg thing. You know, what came first? The other troubling poll was, Diana, I'm not sure if this is a different one from the one you cited. Maybe it's the same one. 20.3% of Gen Z people polled by Gallup said that they identify as LGBTQ. Mm. Now, that's 1 in 5 of Gen Z, which I guess is the 18 to 24-year-olds, I think.
Yeah, that sounds about right, yeah.
And so we're seeing, it's the most fascinating thing, because homosexual activists made up a lie when we were back fighting this decades ago, that 10% of the culture was gay. That was the lie that they made up to grow their power, to
right,
sort of fake news of
right,
its time.
Exactly.
Let's exaggerate our influence by saying we represent 1 in 10 people.
Yep.
And they even wrote books for schools, 1 in 10, and it was all a fake. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if 7.1% of the culture is truly queer, in quotes, but obviously pop culture, propaganda, indoctrination has an effect, and the truth is being drowned out by these lies in the culture.
Absolutely. And it all plays a part. And as more and more kids are online, you know, have access to that information, the homosexual activists, transgender activists are using that to convince kids that they're you know, gay or lesbian, or that they're transgender. I've read many, many stories of teenagers who were going through, you know, puberty, and they were, you know, questioning all this stuff, but they discovered what their problem was through a YouTube video that told them that they were transgender. And
right.
I mean, the internet is playing a major devastating role in many, many, many cases. But back in 1998, you shot an undercover video of a human rights campaign event. What happened there? And I'm assuming you didn't get kicked out. They didn't know who you were.
Yeah,
at that point.
It was actually a pro LGBTQ event at University of Santa Cruz in California, very radical campus. And one of the speakers was the then head of this of the human rights campaign, the leading homosexual lobby group. Her name was Elizabeth Birch. And she was basically saying that she was relating a private conversation she had with Michael Eisner, who was the CEO of Disney at the time. And she was saying, first she said, is anybody in the room? Now, I was just filming there. They didn't know who I was yet. And so I'm standing in the back filming. She didn't think anything of it.
Right.
And she said, is anybody from the press here? And then seeing that she didn't think anybody was there, she said that she told Michael Eisner that Michael Eisner told her that 30%, this is in 1998, I believe, 30% of Disney's workers were quote unquote gay. And then she corrected him and said, it's not 30%, it's 40%. Or maybe it's vice versa. And she said it was 30%. And then Michael Eisner told it was 40%. The bottom line, I can't remember which, but the bottom line was that 40% of Disney's employees were openly homosexual or some other variation of aberrant sexuality and gender back in 1998, which you have to believe now, Diane, that more than half the employees at Disney in the creative departments, et cetera, more than half of them are probably LGBTQ of some sort. Right. And so we're seeing that activism is coming out in the product of Disney. And we saw that with the video that where the one senior, I think she was a senior producer of some kind, I can't remember what her title was, who said that she wants more queer characters. Yep. That's her words.
Yeah.
She want, do you have that, who that
I,
was?
No,
she
I
wants
don't.
More
I've
queer. Yeah, she, and she's saying in a video that got obtained by Christopher Rufo, who's been fighting the indoctrination
critical
in schools.
Right.
Yeah, critical race theory.
Uh-huh.
In the video, she says that she's fighting for more openly queer lead characters in Disney, and that's what we're going to see. And I predict we're going to see that across the board in Hollywood, because now there's coming a quota system where, you know, the Hollywood elites are saying we have to have, you know, a certain representation of LGBTQ in movies, and it's going to get worse and worse, and it's going to force Americans to say, hey, wait a minute, what do I do here if I want to protect my children?
Mm-hmm, exactly. And Americans should have been thinking about that a long time ago, as we've seen incrementalism really when it comes to Disney, but parents should have been aware of what was going on, should have paid closer attention to things like Disney Plus. You had mentioned a movie, Love, Simon, and that's a Disney Plus movie. Explain some of what that is.
I think it aired on Disney Plus. I think it was
okay.
A regular Disney movie. It aired in 2018. Disney, and that's a movie I went to the theater to see. I just wanted to see what the experience was like. And that was a movie in which a boy sort of has a crush, and they're communicating by email and this message board. And it turns out that they're both homosexual and they end up kissing each other as sort of a teen romance for two dudes, two seniors in high school or something,
wow.
Two high school boys. But you know, what's so stunning is that is going to be seen as relatively harmless compared to what we're going to see in the future.
Exactly, because that was before the LGBTQ activists who are employees of Disney came out and made that announcement. There's going to be more gay lead characters.
And I thought, what was the idea that? And I think the problem is, and we'll talk about this in the next show, is, you know, probably many conservatives now wouldn't even see anything objectionable to the Love, Simon movie. But let's remember that there's more in common between homosexuality and transgender is the most common thing, because in homosexuality, you're substituting a woman for a man.
Yeah.
In other words, we want our young men to find a godly woman, get married, preferably save sexual activity for marriage. That's
right.
What we want. We don't want men, our boys to grow into men who replace the woman, the man,
right.
Just like the transgenders are actually trying to switch their own sex,
which is impossible.
Which is even more radical.
Yeah.
But I mean, homosexuality is related to transgenderism. You're replacing the sex that God, the way God intended, God made them male and female, and homosexual activists are saying, no, not for me.
Yeah.
For me, God made them male and male. Or for me, God made us women and women. That is a repudiation of God's
design.
Beautiful and wondrous created design. And so how dare, especially a conservative, or even worse, a Christian conservative, somehow say that homosexuality, well, that's different. We oppose the transgenders because that's just a step too far. Wait a minute. We used to say homosexual so-called marriage was a step too far.
Right.
Step too far. And before that, we said that homosexual creating so-called rights based on deviant sexual behavior, aberrant sexual behavior, that was a step too far. We're constantly shifting our...
We're moving the line in the sand. You know, we draw a line, but then when the homosexual activists cross that line, we move back and we redraw the line, say, don't you cross that line. And then when they do, we're going to fall off the cliff if we keep backing up like that.
Obama in Syria, only on steroids,
exactly.
I mean, we were like, oh, homosexuals in the military? You can't do that.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, now we say transgenders in the military. Oh, and now that you think about it, Diane, you know, transgenders, they're serving like everybody else in the military. I mean, it seems the guy who had it right was a rabbi named Meyer Schiller. And I'll never forget, Brian Kammerer told me this story. I never got the tape, but he told me about this speech by Rabbi Meyer Schiller, Kvetch and Retreat. In other words, Kvetch is a Hebrew word for, you know, for Jewish, for complaining.
Okay.
We complain about, oh, this is going to be horrible. And then it happens and we're like, well, okay, now let's go on to the next defeat. Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Oh, now it's gay marriage. Well, that was, well, isn't it better that two guys actually are in a relationship rather than be
love
promiscuous?
Love is love, they say. Yeah.
Love is love. Uh-huh. Okay, now, oh, now, and now, so I really find it hard to believe that conservatives are going to stay principled in the battle against the trans, against mm-hmm. big transgender yeah. because they've capitulated on everything else.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, with Disney, they've signed on to a letter. They and over 200 corporations have signed on to a letter saying that they oppose any state that passes any kind of law that would, quote unquote, infringe upon the rights of LGBTQ citizens. And, you know, they've signed on to that letter. They also are part of the HRC's Business Coalition for the Equality Act. Of course, that's the law that the Democrats are hoping to get passed that would add sexual orientation and gender identity to the 1964 Civil Rights Act, and Disney signed on to that. They are part of that.
Which
business.
Would be devastating
Absolutely.
For the nation. It's a LGBT lawyer's dream.
Yeah.
They would cite that to sue everybody, whether it's boy biological males taking over women's sports mm-hmm. or whether
see.
It's men
yeah.
in female restrooms or whatever. They would use that Equality Act to push that all across the country.
Right, and make everyone comply with it because it's part of the Civil Rights Act now. Exactly. So is there any hope? Is there any way that we can turn the clock back, so to speak? And what can American families do to send a message to Disney?
Well, I think what can be done is that you could not add to Disney's profits. At the same time, you clearly vocalize why. In other words, in the past, Americans have either not been principled, they value their entertainment more than they value truth. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably true of the country today,
yeah.
Well, actually for sure. But if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, put your money where your beliefs are. Put your, you know, give up Disney, at least notify them, you know, take a stand somewhere, because it becomes sort of impossible to keep complaining when you're not willing to even do something as easy as not going to Disney World. I prefer going to a national park anyway.
Yeah. Or go to the Creation Museum or Ark Encounter, down there.
Something.
Near
I mean,
yeah.
Don't be part of the problem by making it seem like this is something you know, this artificial entertainment. And I know a lot of people love it, but take a stand. And I think also what we can do is we can vocalize our beliefs to all local politicians and say, you know, do what Ron DeSantis is, the governor of Florida. Take a bold stand. Don't try to be namby-pamby. Don't try to say, okay, we're going to support this part of the gay agenda, but we're going to oppose this trans agenda. Mm. Just take a principled stand. Like Mark Robinson, the lieutenant governor of North Carolina.
Mm-hmm,
you know, let's be Mark Robinson Republicans and take a bold stand and say we're going to stand with God rather than trying to parcel out which part we're going to embrace immorality mm-hmm. and which part we're not.
Pick and choose what parts of scripture you want to believe. And that's not the way it's supposed to be done. And it's not the way it can be done for a nation to succeed. How can folks contact you?
Go to my website or my Twitter page. Website is AmericansForTruth.com. Sign up for there's a FeedBlitz link on the left where you can sign up for the articles as they come out. AmericansForTruth.com. And then my website is just my name. I mean, my Twitter handle is Peter LaBarbara at Twitter.
Fantastic. So AmericansForTruth.com. And sign up for the FeedBlitz and click in the little box. It doesn't have anything once you get there, because that's what I had to do. But thanks so much, Peter, for being with us, and we'll catch you for the next program. So thanks a lot.
Thanks, Dan, and thanks for all your great work.
Okay, take care.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.